Hello and welcome to an emergency pod episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I am recording this while my wife visits the hospital. Obviously, many of you know we have a baby in the NICU, and my two-year-old is taking a quick nap. So hopefully I will have a quick moment to update you on what I would call the Black Thursday of student loan relief today, September 29th, 2022, as I record this. This is a really big deal. This is the most significant legal challenge to student loan relief we've seen since it started in March 2020. So just to catch people up, the first lawsuit that we saw was from the Pacific Legal Foundation. This was filed about a week before I recorded this. This plaintiff, who supposedly lives in the state of Indiana, is pursuing PSLF as a lawyer, and PSLF is not taxable at the state level in Indiana, but this cancellation of debt through the $20,000 cancellation for Pell Grant borrowers would be taxable income in the state of Indiana. Therefore, this plaintiff is left worse off because he would owe $1,000 of state income taxes. And that's his theory for having standing to sue to block this. Obviously, this is just a tool that opponents of cancellation are using to block it, right? This is a very minor impact. $1,000 in the grand scheme of things is nothing. So the Department of Ed responded to this lawsuit very quickly, stating that they're creating an opt-out for borrowers that do not wish to receive automatic cancellation, and therefore this person doesn't have standing. Well, a couple days later, six attorneys general or six states, I should say, Republican-led states, filed a lawsuit trying to block this, led by the state of Missouri. And this is honestly something that I predicted that in the weekly newsletter update, that there would be lawsuits from state attorneys general seeking higher office to make a name for themselves, specifically the state agencies that are owned and operated by a lot of these states have interest income from the commercially held FFELP program. This is loans that were issued before 2010. And many of these, student loans, issue interest, and that interest income would be impaired if you allowed these loans to be kind of consolidated and forgiven en masse. So I expected, for example, the state attorney general in Arkansas, they have a state agency, I believe, that may or may not have some FFELP commercially held debt. So this agency that's, obviously kind of in a state run by Republicans could lose interest income and therefore might have standing to sue to block cancellation. So Department of Education was kind of saying, oh, well, we're going to try to work and see if we can get relief to people with commercially held FFELP loans, kind of acknowledging that they were already worried about this as an avenue for a lawsuit. But the thing that I really did not see coming is this lawsuit led by Missouri, which Mohila is now one of the big three loan servicers. Advantage and Nelnet are the other two. And unlike the other two loan servicers, Mohila stands for Missouri Higher Education Loan Authority, I believe. It's not maybe owned by the state of Missouri, but it was certainly created by the state of Missouri. And so you could argue that the state laws in Missouri would kind of control that. And, either the state is affiliated with Mohila or owns Mohila, or the people running Mohila have some sort of relationship with the people that run the state. So this is a really big deal because the theory always was that the student loan servicers were the ones that had the biggest standing to potentially block the lawsuit. And by the way, too, folks, I'm recording this just on my headphones. I'm doing the best I can to get this out to you because I thought it was that important to get this information out. So anyways, the Mohila agency or student loan servicer, right, has really good standing, I think, to bring a lawsuit in this. Now, it's not clear if Mohila is actually specifically named as a party in the lawsuit yet. The reason why it's such a big deal is because Mohila gets money for servicing student loan borrower accounts. So if student loan borrower accounts are forgiven en masse, that means that Mohila will collect tens of millions or hundreds of millions less in revenue for their company. Now, unlike, Nelnet and Advantage, the other two student loan servicers, a for-profit company suing would certainly be a really bad look for a for-profit corporation that's trying to stay in the good graces of, is just trying to stay in the good graces of the Department of Ed on which it relies for contracts. Now, in contrast, Mohila, being kind of affiliated with the state government, doesn't really care and have that profit incentive and have press shy or, investors or something like that. That's why this is such a big deal. Now, if we look at some more details on this lawsuit, it's really, really broad. So basically, you can skip most of the stuff in the lawsuit except going to the standing part. So it argues that people consolidating FFEL loans into direct loans will harm Mohila, but it's an interesting argument. The second argument is, that they're losing revenue from accounts that are being paid off. Apparently, Arkansas owns a company that issues FFEL loans, and consolidation is also harming them. Apparently, Nebraska owns student loan asset-backed securities, possibly in their pension funds or something like that. the government of Nebraska suing based off of, you know, that interest income being impaired and arguing they have a fiduciary duty to their state. They're also arguing lower state tax revenue because of the American Rescue Plan in 2021. Since student loan discharge isn't included in federal AGI, that's kind of weird. That's an act of Congress, so I'm not sure why that's relevant. In the lawsuit, they're also saying that that IDR generally causes states harm because it means lower tax revenue. Not sure about that. They talk about harming states' sovereign and quasi-sovereign interests and requesting an immediate injunction. They're concerned about automatic cancellation and capital loss. They're now arguing that the HEROES Act, which is what all of this student loan relief is based off of, is unconstitutional. They just assert that it's unconstitutional, and they want a judge to stop everything. This is really legit. This really could go through here, or this might result in an injunction. This is really a throw every idea at the wall. The best argument, we think, is probably MOHELA losing servicing revenue. The stuff about people being incentivized into consolidating direct loans is maybe less strong an argument, but the Department of Education literally today said now that commercially held FFELP borrowers are not going to be able to receive relief on the IDR waiver if they didn't consolidate prior to September 29. This pisses me off because this is just really coming out of absolutely nowhere. This is totally out of left field. The whole time, you can't consolidate based off of a press release. If you do that, you're giving up all these, you know, all this relief, and you just don't know how they're going to do this. Now, we did kind of pivot a little bit, and we started giving our consultants guidance maybe in like August and September. Hey, if somebody's, you know, got commercially held FFELP loans, double check that there's no severe reasons why they should not consolidate. And if there's not any severe reasons why they should not consolidate, then go ahead and consolidate and just roll the dice. We've been telling our clients that for the past month or two, but we've also stated in the email newsletter, hey, you know, based off of not having any guidance at all from the Department of Ed with the PSLF waiver, what we did is we waited to be confident that there was actual like rules in place the Department of Education issued before recommending to people that they consolidate their loans. And I think that that's the right thing to do because you have to go off of what Department of Ed has actually published in formal rules, not just what's, you know, willy-nilly said at a press conference, right? But what Department of Ed is doing here is they're legitimizing the argument that commercially held FFELP borrowers are having interest income that benefits these other parties where the whole thing could be taken away. And so they're effectively, for some reason, I'm not sure why, they're basically just legitimizing this argument that you can't help commercially held FFELP borrowers. And it's coming out in left field. There was no warning. There was no discussion had or information given to student loan borrower advocates or advisors like us at all. There was no warning at all before they just randomly updated the website. I mean, this is really, really upsetting to me. Two, they're talking about putting the IDR waiver implementation off until summer 2023. I mean, shoot, at this point, they might, if they invalidate the HEROES Act, then the IDR waiver won't be happening at all. Now, people that have already gotten their loans forgiven via the PSLF waiver are probably safe. I don't really imagine any way that they could re-implement people's student loans after they were already forgiven. That would be truly a disaster. I don't think that we're in for that. I do think that there's a chance that people who consolidated their commercially held FFELP loans before September 29th will be included in all this IDR waiver stuff. But I really do think this 10K and 20K cancellation with this lawsuit has got a very good chance of not happening now. And this is just the question of they're throwing everything they have against the wall. Will some court, probably stacked with Republican appointees, find enough evidence in all of this to put an injunction on this? I would assume so. And the Department of Ed will appeal it, of course, and they will appeal it. Both parties will keep appealing it if this actually results in an injunction. We have to see. We'll find out, I think, in the next couple of days if there's an injunction. But if there is an injunction, I think this is ending up in the Supreme Court. And I think that the cancellation would likely, in that case, be overturned and maybe much more than that. And that's what really scares me about this is because Department of Ed has just sort of very haphazardly done all these things. And base all of this stuff on the COVID emergency, which President Biden said in 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago, or a week or two ago, was over. This is really going into a really dangerous area here. We had borrowers having a full 5 weeks of thinking that this was going to happen. So anger is going to be ferocious on this. You know, if I had to guess, this might truly be the whole reason why Department of Ed took this route in the first place. If you think about it, you know, from an electoral strategy, you've got the Dobbs ruling, which really energized Democrats. Blocking student loan cancellation would certainly energize the Democratic base, I think. So this kind of like in a cynical view, I really do kind of wonder if the political people in the White House pitched this to the president as this is a win-win scenario. Either we get cancellation for people and bring much needed relief to people, or Republicans sue to block this and look like Scrooges and helps us politically. But the problem is that leaves borrowers in the lurch. It confuses people. There's questions now about the student loan pause ending, you know, in December. If this gets expedited, you know, there could be a scenario where student loan payments start before January 1st, just based off of if the HEROES Act gets invalidated. I certainly did not think of that at all, but it wouldn't be a stretch to think the ultra-conservative Supreme Court might try to throw out that provision completely. And what does that mean for all these temporary programs in place? Goodness sakes. To talk further about this PR nuclear war, Department of Ed just emailed literally today about the student loan forgiveness application, telling people that this is going to be opened up in October for people to be ready to go. Goodness sakes, this is an absolute mess. This is just very, very confusing. It's just weird because, you know, can a shareholder of a corporation sue on behalf of a corporation? I don't really think so, right? But is this the case where since Missouri created the agency, does Missouri have like purview over the interests of the agency to sue? There's all kinds of questions raised in this, and this is just beyond frustrating. I mean, what does this mean for borrowers? I think that Biden IDR plan would be a lot harder to overturn. So we're waiting on seeing if that's going to have repay rules or pay rules for married borrowers if you're able to file separately or jointly. But with that plan costing so much money, that's still got to go through the negotiated rulemaking process. So, you know, what are the chances that that plan gets pared down in the negotiated rulemaking process? It could be. What responses will the Biden administration take on student loans in response to if this is blocked? You're going to have a really energized and angry Democratic base. Are they going to extend the pause again to July when his new IDR plan gets released? You know, barring a court stopping them, I would assume that that's what they would do. This is just a real mess. We're going to keep you updated throughout this entire process, no matter what happens. We're going to give you the down low on all this stuff and how it impacts you and your family. This is why I think, you know, the strategy of getting that plan in place as early as possible is the smart strategy, and just applying for everything is the second it comes out, because you just don't know the way they do things so haphazardly if it's going to be reversed at some point. And if it is, you know, it always seems to get, you know, the drawbridge gets raised for the people that aren't over the bridge yet. I'm sorry that this is going on. Ultimately, we cannot control politicians being politicians. And this is very much the case of both sides saying, I think this is good for me politically, and so I'm going to do this thing, and it's terrible for borrowers. So obviously, I'm really frustrated. The good news is, like, I think the PS Left waiver stuff is fine. IDR waiver stuff for people who have consolidated already is fine. The people who have direct loans are probably okay for the IDR waiver eventually. People hoping on this new IDR plan are probably okay. So there are a lot of good positives here, but there's just a bunch of things that I'm frustrated about. Again, sorry for the audio quality. I just wanted to get this out there so you could know that this is a really big deal. You're going to see student loans, I think, a lot in the news over the next couple days with just this chaos that's been unleashed. And giddy up, right? We'll know a lot, I think, based off of how the midterms play out, depending on who wins. I think that if the Democrats win a couple seats in the Senate and they hold the House, which presumably both of those things would need to happen, if they gain seats in the Senate, for example, I would doubt that they would lose the House. You might see some real aggressive stuff on par with, you know, 8-year PSLF, subsidized loans for graduate students, even more aggressive income-based repayment, codified IDR waiver stuff. You might see them go really hard in that direction based off of anger around this potential ruling that might be coming down the pipe. Yuck. This is a rough day, I think, for student loan relief. Now, you know, I will say nothing's happened yet. There's no rulings yet. But just based off of people's reaction, based off of student loan borrower advocates that I know, their reactions, most people reacting to this are like, oh my gosh, this is really bad. So this is, I'm just providing you our initial thoughts. This might end up being nothing, but I think it is something. And what a terrible way to run a student loan program, am I right? So if you want to leave a question about anything that's going on, we'd love to hear from you. studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. Just go to that page and just record something quick on your phone. We'll try to address it on a future podcast. Who would have thought that everything is going on the way that it is, right? 7% mortgages, student loans falling apart, economy seemingly falling apart. You know, it's a good thing you have your education. Remember, at worst, your debt is just an income tax. You shouldn't stress about it. You shouldn't worry about it, because there's always ways to manage your student loans. no matter how chaotic Washington is managing the student loan program. So that's the good news, is if you know all the rules, you know the loopholes, you know, there's never something that completely stops you from getting a good strategy in place that's going to save you a lot of money. Most people have no idea how much they're leaving on the table with these programs because of how foolishly run the student loan program is, because nobody can get on the same page and agree on anything. Rant over. I hope you guys have a good day, and thanks for listening to the Student Loan Planner Emergency Podcast.